Hey, this is Melissa Bartel, the That's a Mermaid. This is my entry for the Dog Days of Podcasting 2014, episode 24.
I only touch your love when the tips of my fingers try to clutch your love. I'm sick of the soap in a bathtub, love. I need something to hold.
So I told Nutty a couple of days ago that I really wanted to do a list of why Defiance is the best sci-fi show that no one's watching. Of course, it isn't exactly true that no one is watching it. There are lots of people watching it, but it isn't enough, and I think people don't give it the credit they deserve. So I decided that I would talk about that tonight. I have to admit, I came late to the Defiance party. Season one had already aired. Actually, before season one or the video game even started, I, through my magazine All Things Girl, had interviewed Grant Bowler. Sadly, we got hacked in June, and the last 2 years of archives, thanks to the idiocy of both ourselves and our host, are lost. But I interviewed Grant Bowler in 2012, before the series started. And at that point, they were just starting to film, they were just starting to launch, and everyone was really excited about this whole concept of a video game and a TV show that worked hand in hand, and what happened in one would affect the other. And even though I don't actually play RPGs, my husband does, and he was really enthused about the idea, and I thought it sounded like a neat concept. So then the first season aired, and for some reason I decided I didn't like it. I go through these periods where I don't watch television at all. I will have things queue up on my DVR for months, and then all of a sudden I'll decide, oh, I should watch that, and I'll binge watch the whole thing. I do not believe that television should ever, ever dictate your schedule, and it annoys me most of the time when people are like, oh, I can't do that tonight because X is on, especially since we live in this era of DVRs. My husband is much more faithful to television shows than I am. Although when there are shows that I like, I will watch them and I will talk about them and I will try to get everyone else to watch them as well. It is quite ironic then that during season two, Defiance for me became appointment viewing and that I actually watch it live, which I never do because I hate commercials. In fact, even when we're sitting down to watch something in real time, we always wait 15 minutes before we start the DVR feed so that we can skip through the commercials intentionally. I hate the disruption of advertising that much. In any case, last February, we were at Sci-Fi Expo, which is one of the three cons that Dallas Comic-Con puts on every year. They do three. Sci-Fi Expo in February is their really small, really intimate con. Dallas Comic-Con in May is huge. It's probably the biggest one in the middle of the country. So it's not San Diego Comic-Con huge, and I'm actually kind of glad about that because even though this year we were in the Dallas Convention Center and not Irving and it was thousands of people, it still retains this sort of intimacy of a small con. There are long lines, but you're not going between buildings, and you don't have there is not so much duplicate tracks that you have to choose so much what you do, and the celebrities are all pretty accessible if you choose to do that, and the vendors are all really, really cool, and I always enjoy it. We sprang for VIP tickets last May. So now that we're on the VIP list, apparently we get VIP options, first access to every other con that we continue buying VIP for, which is awesome because they just released the tickets last week for Comic-Con Fan Days, which is the October event that we have, which is sort of in the middle of February and May in terms of size. And it's also pretty intimate. Not quite as intimate as February, but last February, Jamie Murray, Tony Curran, and Jesse Raff were all representing Defiance at Dallas Comic-Con. There was a really good QA with them that was, for a change, actually pretty substantive, and it was really interesting. And while the first reaction I had was, oh my god, Tony Curran's Scottish accent's going to make me swoon, And I think I tweeted that. I actually really paid attention to the panel. One of the things I like about all of the Dallas Comic Cons is that we're very panel heavy. They're not so much the kind of industry panel where you have authors and publicists and things like that talking. They tend to be more celebrity Q&As, but they're pretty intimate. And it was really funny because almost every panel last February, people were asking 2- and 3-part questions. And it was a really interesting lineup for a con because it was like Richard Dreyfuss and Peter Weller. And who sends Richard Dreyfuss to Comic-Con? But it was really interesting. It was probably the most intellectual Comic-Con I've been to that wasn't like specifically for literature or more book-oriented, just because of the people who were there. Of course, most of the people there wanted to see Karen Gillan, and that was great. She's awesome. She was very funny. But I actually went going, okay, I'm going to sit through Defiance because I know my husband likes it and I'm really not that keen on the show. And I'm going to see if I can get these actors to change my mind. And they did. So by the time season 2 came, earlier this summer, it started in June, I had binge watched all of season 1 because it's available on Amazon Prime. I had gone to the web and found all of the like Inside Defiance things. And at the same time I was binge watching it, I bought a Roku streaming stick. I am in love with my Roku streaming stick. I bought it because I have a smart TV in my bedroom, and I like to watch TV while I'm folding laundry. So, and you know, a clean bed is a really good surface for folding laundry. So I have a smart TV in my bedroom, but we had a lightning strike a while ago, and for some reason, the Wi-Fi on my television no longer works. In fact, the Roku is on our 5G the Wi-Fi. The television, which the Roku is plugged into, says that the Roku is out of range. That's how bad the Wi-Fi thing in my TV was affected. However, it is not worth replacing the whole TV, especially since it's no longer in warranty. So I bought the Roku stick, and I'm finding I actually like it better than the interface that was on the Google TV that I had. I bought the stick that I chose Roku because it comes with a remote and because for the money it had the most options at that time. So I binge-watched all of season 1 Defiance, and I went into it thinking, okay, this is going to be this show with aliens, it's going to be high-concept sci-fi, it's all about feeding into this video game, I'm not going to like it, and I was wrong. So I'm going to share with you my reasons for why I like it. The season finale is this Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. It is 2 hours long. The show is still on the bubble. They're not sure if they're going to have a season 3. The creators and the cast really, really want there to be a season 3, and frankly, so do I. So I encourage all of you to watch it in real time. If you're not watching it already, go to Amazon. If you have a Prime account, you can watch season 1 for free. Otherwise, I just bought the Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray for season 1 is only like $27 right now, which isn't bad. So here's what I like about Defiance, and here's why I think it will appeal to many, many, many people. First, it has something for everyone. It's a science fiction epic, but it's also kind of a Western because it takes place in a frontier version of this altered Earth. It's also an immigrant drama. There are seven that we interact with, different races living in this town called Defiance that sort of exists on top of, like 200 feet above, because the land masses have changed, above St. Louis. And so you have this frontier town, but you also have all these different alien races coming, converging on this town. And each, it's their story too, because they all came from these other planets and they have to learn to respect their own culture, retain their own cultures, but still assimilate enough into human culture that everyone can get along. And it's also a mob story, so if you like things like The Godfather, you should know that there are absolutely, like, mafia families, the equivalent of mafia families in this show. It's got everything, and it's all really well done. There are, as I said, these seven alien cultures, and while we've met all of them, we know some better than others, but they are all really, really well developed. The same person who created the Dothraki language for Game of Thrones also created the Castathan and Arathiant languages for Defiance, and they are speakable languages. They translate for you most of what's on the screen. There are some things they translate, and they actually censor the translations within the show. The actors have said that they get, when they get their scripts, they get, this is what you're saying, and this is these are the Castithan words that you have to say. This is what the English translation is, and here's the phonetic pronunciation. And what their translation is and what we see in the subtitles are often not the same thing. They're very close. But not only have they created these really real, beautiful-sounding languages that sort of are sort of influenced by Earth languages, but not quite, they've also created really deep cultures. You can believe that these cultures could exist on a world. They have their own religions, and they're not all one religion. Each race has their own, with their own mythos and their own rituals, and even their own ways of handling crime and punishment. And it's really interesting watching these all try to blend together in this little neo-frontier town. The continuity on the show is fantastic. I can't speak to how much stays within the continuity of the game because I don't play it. My husband plays a little bit, but he's very Midwestern. So when I ask him questions, like, so do you like the way they handled this? He goes, oh, it's okay. I always complain that it's okay. Sounds like he doesn't like something. He goes, no, that doesn't mean I didn't like it. It means it's okay. It's very frustrating. We've been married for almost 20 years, and I'm still learning to translate Midwestern male into human English. But the continuity is amazing. The plot structure is amazing. There'll be a line in episode one that doesn't come back for like three episodes, and you suddenly realize, oh, that's why they did that, and it always matches. It's not to the extreme that, say, Babylon 5 was, where everything was mapped out for 5 years, minute by minute, but the creators have said they have plans for a 3 and a 4, and you can tell that they have an idea of where the show should go and what it should do. I also like that the relationships between the characters are not always happy. And it's a true series, and that they don't resolve things from episode to episode. I mean, they'll resolve, like, the B-plot, but the relationships are not like, oh, I hate you this week, but we're going to be best friends next week. If someone had a confrontation with someone in one episode, they're going to continue being prickly for a couple more episodes, and it takes them a long time to resolve that, and they don't always end up happy and friendly. And finally, to borrow a phrase from the Twitter feed, Galians. Not aliens, Galians. The sexuality on this show is incredibly fluid. Part of the reason for that is that one of the major sets within the show, one of the major locations within the town of Defiance, is the Needwant, which is part bar, part brothel. Again, it's very much like a frontier saloon in that respect. It's if you cross a true frontier brothel with the bar scene in Star Wars, you would kind of have the concept of the Needwant. It is where you go, but it's also like one of the main socialization places. So even if you're not drinking, gambling, or whoring, you can still go there and just hang out. They also, and the sexuality is fluid, not just because you have what they call their night porters, but not just because they have, you know, sex for sale, but also because within the alien cultures, the sexuality is just a little bit more fluid than it is in typical human television relationships. And they do it in a very realistic way. It's not like, oh, I'm trying to be gay this week because I think it will be ratings, and next week I'll be hetero again. It's not like that. The relationships are all based in truth. As a writer and as an actor myself, I really appreciate the groundwork that they've done and the way that these relationships are presented. One of my favorite relationships, and one that gets a lot of flack on the show, is actually the two teenage lovers, Alak Tarr and Christy McCauley. I know that on the forums, there's a lot of hatred toward Christy McCauley, and I don't think it's that the character is bad, and I don't think that this relationship is bad. One of the things I like about it is that these two teenagers, she's human, he's Castithan, but he grew up on this altered Earth. He's never lived off-Earth in his entire life. And even in the pilot, they're kind of a little bit together, and their story brings them closer together. But what I really like about it is that they have problems, And unlike a lot of depictions of teen marriages, they're not all happy, happy, joy, joy. They're really struggling to figure out what it means to grow up and what it means to be married, especially when they're living in his family home and she's human and they're in this really ritualistic, casty culture. So I also think part of the reason people don't like Christy a lot is because the show hasn't really given her a lot to do. The actress is perfectly lovely and perfectly credible and does not do anything wrong, but especially this season, she really hasn't had a lot to do. We've seen little pieces of her, and she has maybe a line or two. She's always listed as a guest star. She's not in the top billing. But in the last episode on Thursday, she ended up being the central plot point. And I'm not going to say more, because if you do watch it, you're not going to want spoilers. But I really believe that the reason they've been keeping her in small doses is so that we would all be blown away by what really happens in this last episode. My other favorite thing about Defiance is this. The cast and the creators, especially Jamie Murray and Julie Benz and Grant Bowler, but all of them, especially the younger part of the cast, Jesse Rath and Stephanie Leonidas, who most of you will remember from Mirror Mask, are extremely, extremely proud of their work. And every night at the East Coast feed, when it airs, they are all in groups in each other's houses. Or actually, Julie Benz more than once now has been doing this from an airplane, where they gather and they live tweet the episode and interact with the fans. And they seem to really enjoy it. It doesn't ever feel like, hey, this is a publicity stunt, because they've been live tweeting it almost the entire season. And it's really that live tweeting that made it appointment viewing for me, because when they're interacting, you want to be able to interact as well. So if you're watching it 3 days later or 2 hours later, you can't necessarily. They're very funny. They're very bawdy. They seem to react to what their characters do almost the way regular viewers do. It's pretty cool. What I also like, though, is that this is not live tweeting the way it is where you see the tweets flashed on your TV screen. They'll run a promo saying, hey, live tweet with the cast, and then they'll be done. And so unless you're actually paying attention to Twitter, you have no idea that it's going on. So those are my reasons why I think you should watch Defiance. I'd love to hear yours if they differ from mine. I'd love to have you all spend Thursday night watching the double episode, double Defiance on Thursday, because it's the finale, so 2 hours. It's really worth it. I think people are not giving it the chance it deserves because it isn't really flashy. And I think the whole thing with the game and the show sometimes conflict with each other in terms of which one is more interesting. I don't think I've lost anything from the experience by not playing the game, but your mileage may vary.
Steam is drifting.
This has been the Bathtub Mermaid. You can read the show notes for this show at bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E. Defiance airs Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central, which means it's 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on the Sci-Fi Channel. And I think it airs an hour later in Canada, or it might air on... Yeah, an hour later in Canada, but I don't know the channel. Dog Days of Podcasting can be found at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Thank you for listening, and remember never to let your bathwater get too cold.
To feel unclean. Most everybody knows. To feel that stain. So deep inside, and still it shows. But you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub.